We have some thoughts this morning that we want to start with. Let's start, if you will, and turn with me, and we're going to read several verses here. In John 13:7, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you?" So in this reading, we have several things. For those of you that are not aware, their transportation back then was probably walking, maybe on the back of a donkey, maybe in a cart. But as they walked, I doubt if they had high-top boots. Their feet got dirty. If it's muddy, their feet and legs got muddy. So it's very common to wash someone's feet. And what Jesus did was to show that the Son of God is not too good to wash their feet. I've never washed too many feet, but I don't expect it was a pleasant job. It was dirty. Sean's been in Nigeria and talked about how hot and humid it was. So can you imagine walking through a dusty road and just how nasty it would be? So Jesus humbled himself and washed their feet. And he asked them, you know, "What have I done to you?" So we want to think about that line as we go through our study today on what I have done. We've got a couple more examples in Luke 7:44. "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." So we ask our question, what did they do in this situation? What did Simon do? He let Jesus in his home. What did the woman do? She washed his feet with tears, dried his feet with the hair of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with oil. She did a lot. So that's the answer there. She did a lot. Another example. In Mark 12:41, "And Jesus came over against the treasury, and he beheld how many people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called to him his disciples and said to them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." You know, I stumbled around searching what 2 mites that make a farthing was, and I really didn't come up with much. I came up with it might be 1/64th of a day's wages back then. It could be 2 coins, 2 small coins. It could be a very small amount. You know, when I think about it, I was probably worrying about the wrong thing, and that is, if I get this thing to work, she cast in all that she had. She gave everything. She cost, I would call it putting in her grocery money. She put in all she had. So that's what we think of here. What did she do? She did all she had, and she didn't have much, but she gave her all. This is what she has done. As we go forward, I want us to think personally. We want to personally think, what have I done? I'll be honest, sometime I'll sit and I'll listen to preachers and I'll say, boy, I hope old so-and-so's listening. I hope they're getting this. We want to take that out today. Think what I have done. Here's the first thought. In Acts 2 and 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So our thought on this is to ask ourselves, what have I done? Do I try to obey God? Or do I let men influence me? Maybe this next slide will help a little bit. 1 Peter 4 and 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Next question that we ask. Have I obeyed the gospel of God? You know, as I look out in the audience, a lot of people here have, and that's great. What is the gospel? Most of us know this very well. In Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God tells us to believe. Luke 13 and 3 and Luke 13 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What is repent? Repent is to change our ways. I have lived in sin. I'm not going to do this anymore. 180 degree. We've been going down the wrong way. We're going the right way now. Matthew 10 and 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We've seen this through the years. People come forward, they sit on the front, they say, I want to be baptized. Someone asks them to stand up, say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They say, yes, sir, I do. That's not very complicated. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So we go through this process. You see people come up. Someone goes back into these rooms. There's dressing rooms. There's a change of clothes. There's towels. We go up the steps. They come down in the baptistry. Someone is watching. They're baptized. They come up. The reason people are watching to make sure we do it for the right way. Do it correctly. When you do that, you have obeyed the gospel. And this scripture says, then they are saved. I ask now to ask ourselves, have I done this? Have I obeyed this plan, God's plan? Have I done it? You might be like me. When I was younger, I did something. And whenever I really studied, I didn't know for sure what I did. Did I do it? Did I confess? Was I baptized? Yep, I got wet. So I decided one time in Allison when Joe Canall was there teaching that I needed to be baptized again. I thought it'd be better to be safe than sorry. Did I do it correctly? I didn't know. Is it worth taking the risk? My answer is no. Heaven is worth it all. Next thought. In Matthew 10 and 37, it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. My question that we ask ourselves, have I taken the cross and followed after God? Have I done this? You know, I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. Now, it don't say not to love father and mother. It don't say not to love son or daughter. Maybe the next slide will help us with that. Mark 12 and 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Ask ourselves, have I done this? Am I giving 100%? Are we putting God first? Is He in the top 3? Top 10? We have to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and all of our soul. Another thought. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of jobs nowadays have continued education to keep a certain certificate, license, job title. You have to have continued education. So many hours. So if you're going in to have surgery, I'll mention that, make somebody think about it. Hopefully your license is kept up. I mean, your doctor is kept up on the license, kept up on what he knows, kept up on the new things. You'd hate to go once and say, well, yeah, I done that several years ago, but I don't keep up with what's going on. You're probably not going to go to that doctor anymore. There's a guy, and I'm probably going to say the name wrong, named Gary Snice. He has a foundation. They used to have ads on TV, and it'd show a veteran that had lost some limbs. He had been in the war, and he has a foundation, and he raises money. And one thing, when he closes his little plea for money, he says, we could all do a little more. We could all study a little more. We could all study more. So when we think about this, what have I done concerning studying? If someone here has studied too much, I want to talk to you. I need to know how to study too much. Next thought, Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, when I look at this, I'm not talking to people that are ill and can't be in the assembly. I'm not talking to people that are traveling and can't be there. We always plan to be somewhere where we can worship. I'm talking about people that just willfully are not here. They're doing something else. My question is, how are you going to exhort me if you're not here? How am I going to exhort you if you're not here? I'll play a game on Zane. I would like to get you tickets to the next Thunder and Warriors game Monday night. Would you go? He might not, the way they've been playing. But anyway, thinking about this, you know, this would give you memories of being at that basketball game. This would give you something you might ever forget. But lots of times in the assembly, you're going to hear something that might get you a little bit closer to that home in heaven. It might get you more of a guarantee to a home in heaven. In a few years, you may not remember the ball game or who won. But eternity is a long time. Anything we can do to make that more of a guarantee, we need to. So we need to be here. Ask ourselves, what have I done concerning attending the services? I was talking the other day about a congregation that's small. Enough of their members was going to be gone, they canceled the services. That's sad. That is sad. Next thought. Start in Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. All right, I need to backtrack. 19th verse, go you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. That's exactly why we use that phrase when someone is down in the water. Usually something is said like, now you are baptized in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost. If it was said something else, you just got wet. That's why we need to do it correctly. Now then, I'll get back on track. He was speaking to his disciples then. He told them to go and teach everywhere, teaching all things. These disciples are dead. These disciples came to a horrific death in lots of cases. They're dead. Who is supposed to go teach? Have y'all figured it out? Me and you. Me and you are supposed to go and teach. We're the ones that this is to now. Go and teach. Think about this slide. In Acts 5 and 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And when they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. This is a little bit strange to be beaten and then walk out and say, Hallelujah, I was beaten for the Lord. But that's exactly what they did. They went away rejoicing that they was worthy to be beaten for Jesus. They thought it was great that they was worthy to be convicted as a Christian. They went about daily in the temple in every house, and they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. I ask you, what have I done? Have I went about daily, everywhere, teaching and preaching Jesus Christ? What have I done? That's something we need to ask ourselves. Next thought. Revelation 3 and 15, a very familiar reading. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I usually don't like to mention names, but on example, I have to this time. Several years ago, Becky and I got some Yeti mugs for Christmas, I think. And she came along one day hurriedly and took a big old sip of my coffee. I don't think she spewed it out, but she spit it out. Let's put it that way. She is the lady that has a shirt, I hate coffee. I mean, this was awful for her. I love my coffee. I got to have it every day. I'm a grump. But when I think about this, trying to get serious now, what does God think when he looks at me? Does he want to spew? To me, spew is vomit. Vomit it out. Spray it out. When he looks at me and says, David, you're not cold, you're not hot, you're lukewarm, he wants to spew me out of his mouth. Hopefully today, being around everybody, being exhorted, we're going to be hot. How many times does he look at me and just want to puke? Ask ourselves today, what are we? Are we hot? Are we lukewarm? Are we cold? Are we off the chart? Any of those. Answer the question to yourself. What have I done? I All right, let's read this one, Matthew 25 and 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid that thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. In this case, we're talking about what I call is money. Every man was given according to their several ability. If you read earlier, and prior to verse 24, one man had 5 talents. He was given 5 more, and he gained 5, so he ended up with 10. Another man had 2 talents. He went out and gained 2 more talents. He ended up with 4. But the guy with 1 talent was afraid, so he hid it. And said, Lord, here's what you give me. I didn't lose it. I didn't tarnish it. I still got it. But the Lord answered, Thou wicked and slothful servant. You should have at least put it in the bank and got interest. That don't make a lot of sense, but let's go ahead and call it a talent, what we think of as talents. Every man was given to their certain ability. As I look out today, we have people that have a talent to lead a prayer. We have people that have a talent to sing songs. We have people that have a talent to teach. We have those that have a talent to go door to door. We have people that can cook meals and bring meals to someone that needs it. If I bring you a meal and Becky didn't cook it, make sure I bought it is all I can say. I don't have that talent. But each one of us here have talents. Ask ourselves, are we making our talents grow? Are we using our talents? Are you hiding your talent? Are you afraid to use your talent? If you're afraid to use your talent, it didn't satisfy the Lord then. I don't think it will next time. We have to use it. I think some dentist likes to say, use it or lose it. That's exactly what happened here. He was afraid. He lost it. Ask yourself the question, am I using my talents? Am I making them grow? Am I increasing? Am I getting better? Ask yourself that question. Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. If you read a little further, they said, Lord, when saw we this away? And he said, when you done it to the least of these, my brethren. That was his answer. To the least of these, my brethren. In verse 41, same chapter, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sticking in prison, and ye visited me not. When I think about this, is it hard to take someone a meal, a drink? Is it hard to help a stranger? Is it hard to give them clothes? Is it hard to visit someone? You know, this is not brain surgery. It's not a mountain that you have to climb. This is all that was asked, is to do something. Go out and help someone, just like Jesus was washing feet. Go out and do something for somebody. This is what he's asking. So as we think about this, we ask ourselves a question today. What have I done? Have I done meals? Have I done drinks? Have I helped strangers? Have I given clothes to someone? Have I visited the sick? Have I went to prison to see someone? What have I done? We will have to give an answer someday. Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is our last slide, so I want you to be ready to think about some things. Maybe you've been keeping mental notes. Question. When we talked about obeying the gospel, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you done this? If you have, you're saved. If you have not, we have time today. We've got the water, we've got towels, we've got clothes. The other question is, have you done it properly? Have you followed this formula? If you don't, you didn't have salvation. That's as plain as it can be. Are you trying to obey God rather than men? Do you put God first in your life? Top three don't count. One out of three is not good. Put Him first. What about our studying? I dare say all of us can study more. The more that we go over something, the more you retain. As you get older, it's easier to forget than remember. So maybe older people need to study more. We need to study. Be here when the service is open. Gospel meetings. Be here. You're going to get encouraged. You're going to get exhorted. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be more likely to get to heaven by being here. Teaching. You know, teach is mentioned 108 verses in the Bible. I believe teaching is important. Teach others about Jesus. Lead others to Christ. We are His feet. We are His hands. We are the ones that get it done. We don't want to get spewed out. We don't want to be lukewarm. We got to stay hot. We all have talents. Use them or lose them. That's the bottom line. We have talents. We must use them. You know, at the judgment, He's going to look down at us and says, "Hey, I was thirsty. You give me not a drink. I was hungry. You didn't give me nothing to eat. I was naked. You didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't come see me." We don't want to hear those words. It's not that hard to do something.